Well, good evening. Good to see you all. I tell you what, every time I come here, it's a blessing. If you've never met me before, my name is Steve Gillespie. I pastor Calvary Lakeway over in Jefferson County. So if you know anything about Jefferson County, we're on the far east side of the county. But believe it or not, it was because of Pastor Jason Brown, I started in Calvary in the first place, humpteen years ago when he was still at Calvary Chapel, Blount County. So I owe a debt to that man. So, and as you can tell, he's not here. Is this recorded or can I talk about him? I mean, what did he do this morning, right? Couple little services. No, I'm kidding. I love Jason to death. I really do. So, as I said, my name is Steve. I pastor Calvary Lakeway over in Jefferson County, and it is an honor to be here, as always. And I will tell you this, in all honesty, ever since I pulled in at 5 o'clock, I have been blessed. You know, the worship team, they rocked. They did a great job. There was some nerves in the back. I'll rat them out. There was some nerves in the back, and then they come out here and killed it. I came here about a year ago to the men's thing on Saturday morning, spoke to a group of men, and this gentleman here came and told me he used my testimony and told my testimony four times in the past 2 days. 2 days. I don't think anybody's ever told my story, not even my mom, right? So that was a blessing. I got to meet a group of guys out of Oregon that's probably back in the back trying to nap. They drove straight all the way from Oregon to here to help our neighbors out. And I got to meet them. That was cool. If you get to see them, shake their hand, hug their necks. You know, they're here to help our neighbors. You know, so that's a beautiful thing. So anyway, I'm already blessed. Y'all want to quit and go home? No? Okay. So just so you know a little bit about me, I have a very engineering mindset, and I'm very OCD. So everything that I do with a purpose. I'm always trying to see the end before I take the first step. Now, that is a fault in some cases, right? But for other people in the room that's like me, it's how we live. So anytime I prepare to teach or a message, I put five things. I made these up years ago. This is from the book of Steve. If you ever want a copy of that book, it's never been written, all right? But from the book of Steve, I put it in five things. I want to do five things every time I teach. Now, if I can accomplish a few of them, that's good. But if I can accomplish all five, that's good. And tonight, I'm going to try to accomplish all five. I call them my five E's. The first two go together. I want to be able to edify the body or edify the saints, and I want to be able to encourage the saints, right? I love edifying and encouragement. The second thing I want to do or try to do is I want to enlighten people or to educate people, right? Give them a little bit of enlightenment. Maybe it's something in Scripture that I saw you haven't seen yet. There's people that enlighten me every day as I listen to other pastors and teachers. I'm learning something new every day. And then the last one is I want to leave you with something. I want to equip you with something that you can walk out those doors and touch somebody's life because that's what it's about. What we do in here is we're literally in here to do those things for each other, to build each other up. So when we walk back out that door and we get back into the battlefield, we can do the same for someone else. So I don't know if anyone lives under a rock and haven't been paying attention. The past few weeks have been quite terrible around the world, have they not? See, right here in our own backyard, as I mentioned, right here in our own backyard, we've had horrible storms. We've had two back-to-back, counting the second one, Milton, down in Florida. Devastating. Tornadoes up and down the East Coast. I don't know if you even caught that because of all the hurricane talk. So there's tornadoes. So we're seeing that right here in our own neighborhood. We've also seen, if you've paid attention, all these missiles flying at Israel. But praise God, we saw miracles in that too, didn't we? Boy, God can move, can't he? But still, nonetheless, we see this onslaught against Israel, God's people. We also see in our own nation, coming back home for a minute, we see this political craziness. I'll say it nice. The political craziness that's going on right now, that everybody's throwing stuff and all up in air, right? We see this stuff. And sometimes the problem is, And I know it's for all of us. Sometimes the problem is we get caught up in that stuff. If we start to forget who we are, what our identity is, and where we're supposed to be. See, the Bible clearly tells us that we're supposed to be in a certain place. So if you take your Bibles and you go to Galatians chapter 5, I believe it says it up there, we're only going to look at two verses, and we're going to pick apart two words. So we're going to look at two verses, and we're going to pick apart two words. And I pray tonight, my number one prayer tonight is that I equip you as you see the madness going on in the world. Remember, we were told in the Bible that things would get worse and worse. We know that. But we got to remember where to be and where our station should be. So if you're there with me, let's read just verse 1. We'll read verse 13 in a moment. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for your word. I want to thank you for this church, that group of individuals that have come out of the West Coast to help our brothers and sisters and our neighbors and our family members that are suffering right now. Lord, I want to thank you for the work that this church, along with the other Calvaries in this area that are working on and doing and moving and shaking for these victims. But Lord, more than anything else, I want to thank you for your word. And I want to pray this morning or this evening as I present your word that they no longer hear me, they hear from you. We love you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so in that first one, in that very first verse, how many of you have got a life verse? How many's got a life verse? Nobody does that anymore? Am I old? Nobody's got a life verse? Okay, a couple of us, right? Okay. So my life verse, believe it or not, is Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. That's my life verse. I love this verse. It's always my source of hope. I always go back to that very first word, stand fast. In the Greek, that word is stako. Very easy to remember, right? S-T-A-K-O, stako. What stako actually means is to stand firm, to persevere, to persist, to stand ready, and to be prepared. Now, I'm retired Army. A lot of you that have met me before knew that, right? So being from that, this word is a military word. We used it all the time. And it meant something to us. If your commanding officer or your non-commissioned officers told you to stand fast, there was a point and a purpose behind that. It either meant they've got more for you to do, they got more to tell you, or someone important is coming. Well, biblically speaking, this stand fast means the same three things. Number one, we stand fast because God has something more for us to do. If he didn't have something for us to do, if he wasn't trying to equip us to put us out into this battlefield that we call earth, then he would have took us home when we got saved. But he didn't. So see, we stand fast, first and foremost, is because he's got something else for us to do. The second reason that we're called to stand fast in a biblical standpoint is there's more to learn. There's more information coming. None of us in here, I don't care how long you've been in your Bible, none of us in here can say we've got it all, that we figured it all out. As a matter of fact, Paul, the writer of this particular epistle, he even said himself that there are mysteries that we don't know. So there's more coming. And the third one is, as I said, stand fast has three meanings to a soldier. The third one is sometimes they tell you stand fast because somebody important's coming. Now, this is the one I get excited about. This is the one that really gets me excited. Now, when I was in the military and they told me stand fast because somebody was going to come, that meant they were going to come, they were going to give a speech, and we were all going to have to stand there forever and listen to this person. But see, in a biblical sense, we know who's coming. We know that we're standing fast waiting on our supreme commander. We're waiting on Jesus' return. So see, when we look at Stako as a church, we need to remember we're his army. We've got a job to do. We've got to get out. We know that there's more information coming, and we also know, more importantly than not, there's someone very important coming, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's coming back. And so as we start looking at this word, stand fast, we need to start paying attention to it a little bit more. We also need to make sure that we understand that standing fast isn't standing around. There's a big difference. Remember the definition of stako. It says to stand ready and to stand prepared. You got to be ready and prepared. You're not just standing around for standing purposes. There's something to be done. Now, this word also is only used five times. And this is going to go very far here in a minute, okay? This word is used five times in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians, it says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. So in other words, stand firm and be ready, be strong. It's also used in the Philippians, the letter to the Philippians. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that when I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. So first, we're supposed to stand fast in faith. Second, we're supposed to stand fast in unity. One church, one Christ, one God, one spirit, all in all, right? So we also have to stand fast in one spirit. That goes on to say, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Also, it's in Philippians as well, it says this, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. So now we're standing fast in the faith, we're standing fast in unity, and now we're standing fast in the Lord. As a matter of fact, Paul says that again. He says, therefore, brethren, in all affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith, for now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. The last time that it's used, this is again in Paul writing to the Thessalonians. He says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or epistle. Now, this one's really important. He says, stand fast in the word of God. We have the word of God. Stand fast in that. No matter what's going on around you, don't stand fast in the word of man. Stand fast in the word of God. So again, going over this one word, I said we're going to tear two words up, right? In this first word, we're talking about standing fast, standing firm, standing ready, standing prepared. But if you go on, it says stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, our second word, liberty by which Christ has made us free. See, the fact is that Jesus has made us free, but yet we live as if we're still in bondage, don't we? We get guilty of that. We live as if we're still in bondage when we already know from the Word of God that if Jesus Christ has set you free, you are what indeed? You're free. So this is, the second word is liberty. That's a unique word in and of itself also. A lot of people believe that it's liberty and freedom is the same word, not in the Greek. It's a little bit different, okay? Liberty means, just as it did in my military days, that I have liberty this weekend. That means I can leave base, I can go somewhere. Liberty is a little bit different than freedom in the fact that if you have liberty, it was given to you by someone of higher stature. What is Jesus to us? Someone of higher stature. He has given us this liberty. So now, let's back up a minute. You spend a lot of time on the word stand fast. Where are we supposed to stand at? In the liberty. In the liberty that Christ has granted us, he's given us. That's where we're supposed to be standing, not in bondage. What we do as humankind, and I'm not pointing fingers because I'm as guilty as everyone in here, maybe even more so. We see the news, we see the disasters, we see everything going on around us, and we immediately take that into us. And then we put that big old yoke on. And then, you know what? We keep adding to that yoke. When Jesus has already told us, I've set you free, you have liberty in Christ Jesus. If we live in bondage, there is only one person in the world to blame, and that's us. It's our fault. If we live there, then it's our fault because God has already told us, I gave you liberty. I've given you the liberty. Now, I want you to stand there. And I don't want you just to stand. I want you to stand prepared. I want you to stand ready. I want you to stand in the liberty I've given you. Paul also made it very emphatic when he said the liberty, not a liberty. Pay attention to how it's written. It's the liberty. See, today people, we were talking about this earlier. Today people live this headlong pursuit of what they think is freedom, right? I want to live the way I want to live. I want to act the way I want. And see, the freedom they're chasing is actually what's putting them in bondage. The freedom they're chasing is what is actually putting them in bondage. Whether it be drugs, alcohol, whether it be chasing women, guys, or gals chasing men, whether it be gambling, whether it be whatever it is, that's what's putting you in bondage. We have freedom from sin. We have freedom from the law. We have been liberated by Jesus Christ, a higher authority. But see, they think that freedom is being able to do whatever they do and whatever they want to do. The same story goes with the word submission. How many of us actually really like the word submission? Anybody? You should love it. You should love the word submission. We should be submitted to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Because he gave us the liberty. See, we think freedom, and we forget about the liberty of which we've been given. The liberty is essentially our freedom from the tyranny of this world and the tyranny of sin and the tyranny of death. That's what we have liberty from. Remember, Jesus said it himself over in John chapter 16. All of this, when he was talking to his disciples before he had even been, before Judas even threw him under the bus to get him murdered and killed for 30 pieces of silver, even before any of that happened, he looked at his disciples in the face and he says, "You guys be of good cheer. I've already overcome all this. And since I've already overcome this," like that song said, I love that song. Thank you, Jesus. He's able to liberate us in the same fast. Going back to the word stand fast, I want to point out one more thing that I skipped over. I want you to understand this. Stand fast is active. That's an active verb, okay? And what I mean by that is it takes effort not to stay in the place that you're in bondage. It takes effort on your part. That's why I said it's our fault when we get in bondage. Because I will tell you this also, that old devil is out there with shiny little trinkets of freedom. And he's waving them in front of our kids and our young adults' lives every day. Saying, "Here, looky here, looky here." And they're grabbing hold and they're right back in bondage. So young people, I love the fact that all the young people are in here tonight. That is so awesome to me. I love when I see young people listening to the Word of God. Because I will tell you this, this is your escape, Jesus, nothing else. All right, now moving on back to liberty. I had to back up. Y'all ever heard of a great evangelist? You younger people, maybe not. Great evangelist by the name of D.L. Moody? All right. This guy back here, man, he knows everything. He's teaching next week, that one. All right, so the great evangelist, if you've ever read his biography, it's actually in there. This story's in there. I think it's his biography. It may have just been something he wrote. I'll get back to you. But anyway, D.L. Moody, he illustrates this verse, Galatians 5:1, by telling a story of a slave woman that he met that was way up in her age, of course, think about it. And he met her, and she tells this story. She says, when the emancipation came, the proclamation came from Abraham, a lot of the slaves were confused. They didn't understand, am I free or am I not? And she said this, she said, now, am I free or am I not? When I go to my old master, he says, I ain't free. And when I go to my own people, they say I am. I don't know whether I am free or not. Some people have told me that Abraham Lincoln signed a proclamation, but my master said he didn't, and he had no right. See, this is a beautiful picture, and that's why D.L. Moody uses this for this verse. It's a beautiful picture of your new master, Jesus Christ, And your old master, the devil himself, the devil's going to continue to lie to you. He's going to continue to tell you that you don't have liberty. He's going to continue. But we got to remember what the Bible tells us, what the Word tells us. And the reason that we stand fast in the Word is because the Bible told us that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. But I'm going to tell you, that old devil's going to keep coming back. He's going to keep coming back. The one thing he wants you to do is put them chains back on. He wants you to put that yoke back on. That's his desire. You also look at this and you remember as the old devil, that old master keeps seeking to lie to you and to deceive you and to draw you back in the world, is he wants you to be hopeless and helpless. And I'll tell you why. Anybody ever thought why the devil wants to do that? Because the devil knows he's defeated. He hates himself because of it. And he hates you even more. Because God created you and made you perfect. So he hates you. Just like he hates himself. So again, you got to remember your station in life. You are liberated by the great liberator. And you're to stand, that's a command, stand fast in that fact. Not in the things of this world, but in that fact. Let me show you a picture. You can flip if you want to. I'm going to flip. Now, I cheated, though. I put a marker right here. I'm going to flip over. I want you to listen to these words. Keys already heard them today. But this hit me this morning as I was teaching at my church. This hit me this morning. What a beautiful picture of what I'm trying to illustrate is in Colossians chapter 4. And this is, if I can find Colossians chapter 4, there it is. Colossians chapter 4, I'm going to read 2, 3, and 4. It says, this is now right here in this time, Paul had just gave them a list of how to be a wife, right? How to be a husband, how to be a kid, you know, obey your parents. He also talked about being a bond slave or bond servant, and he also talked about being a master. Now, this is right after that. He says this, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as ought to speak. You say, now what in the world's that got to do with liberty? I want you to think about this. Where was Paul when he said those words? He was in prison. He was under house arrest, and he was chained to one, sometimes two guards is the way they would do it in Rome. So he is in jail, right? Now look at this prayer. See, he understood liberty. This gave him the authority to write what he wrote over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, to stand fast in liberty. This man was not in liberty, was he? He wasn't free. He's chained to a Roman guard. But look at his prayer. He tells them first and foremost, I want you guys to earnestly pray. And as you earnestly pray, I don't want you to forget about us. Pray for us as well. But he didn't say pray that like it did to me and my buddy Barnabas here, the doors fly open and the chains fall off and I get out again. Did he pray that? He didn't pray that, did he? He didn't pray that some miraculous thing would happen where Caesar would say, oh, that's Paul. He's a good guy. Let him go. No. Look what the prayer was. He said in his prayer to pray that God would open doors for us so that we could speak the mysteries of Christ. He said, what I want you guys to pray for me is that I can continue to preach. See, this man was in prison, and I even brought this up this morning. Think about this. If you were in prison and you really assumed that this was going to be your last place in life, would you be praying that through this situation you could still proclaim the gospel? Or would you be praying to get out of it? So there's two things I want to consider. Where you're standing and how you're standing. Okay, where you're standing and how you're standing. See, the question really gets down to tonight, why don't I live in liberty? See, that's what it boils down to. And I cannot answer that question for you. You cannot answer that question for me, can you? So the question is, why don't I live in liberty? It boils down to two things. Where you're standing. See, the Bible told us, and we went through these, we're to stand in faith, not doubt. We're to stand in unity, not alone. We're to stand in the Lord, not in ourselves. We're guilty of that one, right? Most of us. And we're to stand in the Word of God, not in the word of the day. So it matters where you're standing. That's why God gave us this verse. Where are you standing? Then the second thing is, how are you standing? You say, well, I can only stand one way. No, you can stand multiple ways. Listen to me. You can stand firm and not weak. You can stand persevering and persisting, not being pushed backwards. You can stand ready, not, oh, I hope this don't happen. And you can stand prepared, not unprepared. So it really boils down to where you're standing and how you're standing. And if you start looking at your own life, I'm going to ask you a series of 19 questions, and I'm going to give you the answer. You can take this home with you. It's free. Don't have to pay me for this part. All right? Why should I say I can't when the Bible says I can? Why do I say I can't when the Bible says I can? Philippians 4:13, I can do how many things? Through who? The liberator, right? So why? Why do I say this? Here's another one. Why should I worry about my needs when I know that God can supply all of my needs? According to whose riches? Yeah. See, these are the things that rob us from our liberty. Here's another one. Why should I fear? That's a big one, right? Especially when you start watching the news, you start seeing everything going on. Fear kicks in, right? But why should I fear when the Bible clearly tells me God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind? Most of us needed that part, right? Here's you another one. This is another thing that robs you of your liberty. Why should I lack faith that it takes to live in liberty? When God himself has said, I have given you a measure of faith. And Christ has said, if you have the faith of a very little tiny mustard seed, then you will be able to speak to the mountains and tell them to move from here to here. Here's another one. Why should I be weak? Everybody looks at Christians today as weak, right? Why should I be weak? When the Bible says, the Lord is the strength of my life, and I will display strength and take action because I know God. I will display action because I know God. Here's another one, another robber. Why should I allow Satan and or the devil to rule my life? Right? He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. A couple of months ago, I had my church. I said, let's commit to getting up every morning, and before you even put your feet on the floor, quote that verse. Before you even get in the line of fire of the old devil, quote that verse. I've had a lot of people come up to me and said, I've been doing it out loud. I said, good. Maybe your husband or wife or kids hear it. But anyway, why should I lack wisdom? Have you ever talked to someone that said, well, I would get into ministry or I would tell her about Jesus, but I'm not smart enough. I don't know what to say. Well, that's against the Bible. The Bible says that I know that Christ became wisdom to me from God. God gives wisdom freely when I ask for it. Again, here's another robber. Why should I accept defeat? Why should I live a defeated life? God's already led us into victory, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Why should I worry or be upset or anxious? See, Peter tells us that I can call upon Jesus Christ. I can lay all of my burdens on him, all of my cares on him. Why? Because he cares for me. I can lay it on him. Why should I? Listen, do y'all know what the number one, this is sad, and if you don't know, it's okay. Do you know what the number one affliction in the church as of 2021 was? The number one affliction? It was depression. In the church. That's us, guys. In the church. No liberty. No liberty. Depression is paralyzing. If you've ever been around someone that's very depressed, it is paralyzing. And when I read that, we did a 6-month study on just depression and anxiety. And when I read that, I cried. I cried. It's heartbreaking to think that the number one affliction in the church today, or 2021, probably worse now, was depression. So it says, why should I be depressed? Why should I let depression rob me of my liberty? I have hope and can recall to mind God's loving kindness, compassion, and faithfulness. I have no reason to be depressed. Why should I feel condemned? How many of you ever felt condemned? Paul said to Roman, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Going back to where you stand, right? Where do you stand? In the Lord. Why should I feel alone or all by myself? Loneliness, by the way, was one of the key issues that led to elder depression. Like I said, we did a 6-month study. So elder depression is because some elderly people do live alone. They feel alone, and it causes depression. But here it's saying, why should I feel alone when Jesus says, I will always be with you, and I'll never leave you or forsake you? Why should I feel as if I'm cursed when the Bible says clearly that Christ rescued me from the curse? That's in the same book 2 chapters back. Why should I be unhappy? Or, I prefer the term, why should I lack joy? See, one of the things is when you start going down this rabbit trail and you start looking at the liberty that you have from Christ, one of the things he gave you was this thing called joy, right? And in that joy, he didn't only give you joy, he gave you a joy that was unspeakable and full of glory. Have you ever been in a really bad spot? I want to talk about this one in a minute. Have you ever been in a really bad spot and you felt the peace of God come over your heart? And all of a sudden, you had joy. It's amazing, right? You know what that proves? What God said is true. Because he said he gives you joy, he gives you peace. Why should I feel worthless? Why should I feel worthless? This is a pet peeve of Pastor Steve's, just in case y'all want to know. This is one of my pet peeves. You are not worthless. Don't let the devil tell you that. Don't tell yourself that. Don't let anybody else tell you that. You're not worthless. As a matter of fact, you want me to tell you how much worth you have? The blood of Jesus Christ. You're not worthless. He came, he bled, and he died to redeem you back to himself. You're not worthless. Here's another one. Why should I feel hopeless, helpless, in the presence of adversaries and enemies, when God says, if I stand for you, who can stand against you? Right? Why should I be confused? Why should I be confused? When God says that he was not the author of confusion, God also says he is the author of peace, and he gives knowledge through his Spirit who lives in me. Why should I feel like a failure? Every one of us has felt that way, right? Like you failed. Jesus said through his word and through his servant Paul that I am more than a conqueror in him. Why should I let the present pressures of my life, now I'm getting personal, why should I let the pressures of my life force me back into bondage? Why do we let it happen? Why do we do it? When the Word of God clearly says to take courage, knowing that Jesus has overcome the world And that includes everything in it. See, these two simple words, stand fast and liberty, is telling us where we should be standing and how. And we stand in the liberty that we have gained through Christ alone. We could go on and on with this list. That was 19 different things that I picked. You could probably add your own, could you not? The things that take your liberty, steal your liberty from you. I love this. If you don't know this guy, check him out. His name is Neil T. Anderson. If you know him, nod your head because you know I'm talking, right? This guy's awesome. He said this. He said, if what we think does not reflect truth, then what we feel does not reflect reality. Did y'all catch that? If what we think up here doesn't reflect truth, the truth of God's word, then what we feel does not reflect reality. Now, that's real important in the day and age that we live, because in the day and age of which we live, the only thing that matters is your feelings, right? And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings in here, but I'm going to. Your feelings don't matter if you put them above the truth of God's word. And the truth of God's word says that we are to stand firm, prepared, and ready in the liberty that he provided as our commander-in-chief. He provided that liberty. That's where we're supposed to stand. Not on the things of this world. We don't stand, for those of us who are still working, we don't stand on our job. We do our job, we do it well, and we do the best that we can, and we provide for our families, yes, right? But that's not where we stand. We stand on the liberty that we have from Jesus Christ. But to jump down to chapter 13 and then I'll end. Or verse 13, not chapter 13. If you've got 13 chapters in your book of Galatians, you got the wrong Bible. Okay. That was a test. Wanted to see. You know, it's like the third book of Hezekiah, right? No, it ain't in there. Quit looking. That book don't exist. Stop. All right, but there is a warning with this, okay? Ooh, I got loud. This is all right. There's a warning. See, here's what we do because we're a sinful nature and we're humans, right? And men, I'm just going to be honest with you guys, y'all are worse than the ladies, all right? Men, you're worse at this. We like to take our liberties and see how far we can take our liberties. We like to take it as far as we can. We like to actually start stepping outside of our liberties because we have liberties. So what Paul had to do in turn is turn around in verse 13 and explain to him, for you, brethren, you were called into liberty. Okay, you've been called into liberty. He brings it up again. He says, but don't, guys, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. See, we all have liberty. Paul even spoke about this and actually got in an argument about this. Paul dealt with the Judaizers, if you're familiar with the term Judaizers, throughout all the world. He was dealing with these guys that just wanted to keep putting the yoke back on. Acts chapter 20, I believe it is, that even comes up where Peter was talking to the Judaizers about putting yoke back on. Okay, but what he's trying to explain to him here is, look, you have this liberty. If you like shrimp, go eat you some shrimp. It's against Jewish custom. It's against the Old Testament. But if you like shrimp, do it. As long as you don't offend somebody, you don't trip somebody up, you're not a tripping stone. If you, you know, as long as it's okay. As a matter of fact, the whole debate, if you remember, was over food, right? It was about food. As long as you're not affecting someone else. And so what he's saying here is, guys, you have liberty. It's granted to you by Jesus Christ, your commander. Kind of like in the military, when we were in the military and we got a weekend pass and we got liberty, they told us, okay, you got liberty. We're not going to go out there with you. We're not going to hold your hand. We're not going to follow you. You get to leave base. You get to go do your thing. But that doesn't mean go out there and act like a horse's rear and get put in jail or get in a fight or, you know, whatever. And every single weekend, someone for the company would get in trouble. Every weekend. They'd go out there and have too many of those liquid courage beverages. and they would lose their mind every weekend. See, we have that liberty too, but Christ is still using his word and using his servant Paul to say, yes, you got liberty, but don't use it as an opportunity to feed your flesh. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Does that make sense? Just because you can doesn't mean you should. So the two words tonight as I wrap this up, the two things I wanted to impress upon you the most is the word stand fast. It's an active verb. It's not just standing around. But I wanted you to pay really, really close attention to where you're standing. Because one of the greatest things the devil has ever accomplished in grabbing followers of Jesus Christ was getting them to put the yoke back on themselves. He didn't have to do it. He talks us into doing it. And we pick it up and we put it on for him. Let us pray as the worship team gets ready. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you for your word. We want to thank you for such encouraging words that we do have liberty, and it's only through you. And Lord, you even warned us, don't get back in that yoke of bondage. Lord, you warned us not to use it as an opportunity for the flesh. To stand fast, to stand prepared, to stand ready, and to stand firm in the liberty you've granted. And Lord God, as that song said tonight, we just have to thank you, Jesus. None of us in here, not even one of us in here, deserved the liberty that you've granted us. None of us could work hard. None of us could pray hard. None of us could do anything to gain these liberties that we have in you. And we just want to encourage one another with that. We want to be able to edify one another with that. And we want to take it outside the walls of this church to be able to be encouragement to a lost and dying, hopeless and helpless world. We thank you, we praise you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.